topic.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour of the program here on Wednesday morning. In just a few moments, we're going to be finding out about some educational options for your student in New Bedford. But before we get into that, of course, we still have ongoing the voting for our South Coast's Cutest Couples contest. And if you want to check that out, you can go to WBSM.com or the app to be able to check that out and see the cutest couples on the South Coast and vote for whoever you think is the cutest. Right now, one couple is running away with it. I'm not going to tell you who because I don't want to influence your vote. But if you have another couple that you support, you want to make sure you get over there and vote for them now. The winner is going to receive $250. They'll get a $250 gift card. We're going to give that away on Friday, so you have until then to vote. But head on over there now at WBSM.com and the WBSM app to see those couples and cast your vote. It's brought to you by Paradise Jewelry, by Festiva Buffet, and by Frontera Grill. Let's take a quick phone call here before we get into our discussion with our guest. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tim. Man, I'm just calling on a comment about, you know, changing names of places like that.
Yes.
You know? And I know you got a good sense of humor, so I was, and you could make some extra money at the end of your shift. You could walk out, parking lot, organize people, walk right down the bike path to the Tim Weisberg Memorial treatment plant. How about that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I could probably think of worse things to name myself after than that.
All right, that just throw it in there. I like your show. You got a good sense of humor.
Thank you so much.
And you're pretty balanced, so.
Thank you. You have a great day.
All right, see
you. Actually, you know what they could do is they could take some of the garbage over at Mount Trashmore and shape that into my likeness. Make it like a Mount Rushmore, but of terrible talk show hosts, and you can put me there. That might be a little bit better. And then, you know, the best part about it is it'll biodegrade, hopefully, after 50 or 100 years, and then you won't have to look at it anymore. So we are joined now by Adonis Ferreira, the Director of Student, Family, and Community Life at Global Learning Charter Public School in New Bedford. Good morning, Adonis. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. How are you?
Doing all right. So tell us a little bit about Global Learning.
Yeah, so Global Learning Charter Public School is a public school, first and foremost, and we serve students in grades 5 through 12 in the city of New Bedford. And, you know, basically the school is open, you know, this year. You know, we're really talking about our enrollment process right now. And the application process, the applications are open for students in grades 5 through 10. So we're really trying to get out the information, sharing a little bit of information about the school and letting you know that the application deadline for this upcoming school year is on Thursday, February 28th.
So I guess, you know, a lot of people don't really necessarily understand the difference between a charter school and a public school. And then being a charter public school, I think kind of throws. So explain a little bit about Global Learning and what the approach is to education, though.
Yeah, so Global Learning was the first charter school here in New Bedford, started in 2002. And usually the way charter schools come about, they're initiated by a group of community members that feel that they want to open up a public school with a certain level of innovation, with a certain mission. So that's indeed how most charter schools begin. So in New Bedford, it was the same process. 2002, they opened up the school. And, you know, as you can see, Global Learning Charter. And a lot of what we do and our focus is on STEAM, currently science, technology, engineering, a little bit of arts and math in there, and really a heavily technological school. Some of the different things we do is, you know, besides technology and STEAM, we really focus on a lot of project-based learning, making sure that the students are learning how to do research. They're learning not just doing individual work, but also project-based work, more hands-on work. And we really focus on their development as far as presentation skills. We have a major part of our school is called the POLs, Presentations of Learning. So we make sure that students are really delving into doing research and being able to also demonstrate that learning through presentation, mostly public speaking, a PowerPoint presentation. So in essence, that's pretty much the focus of our school.
So this isn't just learning to memorize and to remember things. This is actually, you know, putting it into practical application during the education process.
Absolutely. That is our goal. And, you know, and over the years, we've seen that, you know, definitely students have benefited from that. And our parents are usually very pleased at not only the education, but also the environment that we've created at the school. More of like a really community, family-based environment. Students feel very comfortable in terms of being at the school, the strong student support services that we have, the alumni program relations that we have when students move on. So students feel very comfortable in approaching, you know, faculty, their teachers, and seeking any type of help. We have a very good after-school program. You know, besides our academic programs, we run programs usually between the hours of 3 and 5 o'clock, usually 3:15, 4:15. These include both academic support programs in, you know, the different subjects, as well as what we call the enrichment programs. Could be anywhere from drama club, the chorus. You know, we do soccer intramurals, basketball, pickleball. So there are a number of different programs that we offer our students that gives the parents an opportunity for their kids to be at the school between Mondays and Fridays during those hours.
And you mentioned that this is 5th through 10th grade. And so I would assume that, you know, kids who are in 4th grade now are going to be thinking about going there next year. But is it open to kids who might want to go into some of those later grades?
Yes. Our enrollment and application process is open to students in grades 5 through 10, even though we serve students in grade 5 through 12. We have a middle school and we have a high school. However, we really urge parents of 4th grade students to put in that application now in the 4th grade, because our larger acceptance class is in the 5th grade. In the 5th grade, we could bring in anywhere from 80 to 88 students, depending on the year. So you have a fairly a better shot for your child to get in, because in the other grades, most of our students stay enrolled. So we will have limited slots in grade 6 through 10.
And is it a big adjustment period to come from the public school environment, the traditional public school environment, to come into global learning?
I'd like to say that the adjustment is really a cultural adjustment in terms of adjusting to the expectations of our school. We have a strong student support program, and there are just some things that we probably do different in terms of supporting our students. There's definitely, you know, a certain level of academic rigor that we want to bring the kids up to speed academically. But it's just in terms of expectations of the daily routine. I think potentially we have our own way of doing things, and that's the adjustment that we expect.
And I think a lot of times, you know, you're getting kids who are serious about their education, so they're coming in ready to jump into what you can offer them, as opposed to, you know, I think a lot of times kids are very much... It's kind of one of those things where when you're at that level, 4th, 5th grade, school is still something that you are kind of feeling out what it's going to bring to you. But it sounds like with the programs that you offer, these kids already come in kind of knowing what they want to get out of school as opposed to what school can give to them.
Well, let me say this. Again, we get all New Bedford students from across the city. So we have a variety of different learners coming. And, you know, we also have multi-language learners. We have a special ed program. We serve 504 students. So that's the other piece that I really want to highlight is, you know, we have a very strong program that support all learners. So it's really a one-page application. We do not know of any students' profiles until, you know, they are selected, you know, from their lottery. And once we know they've been admitted based on the lottery, that's when our student support team begins to work with the parents and the students.
So the deadline is coming up to be able to get the application in to enter into the lottery. So when is that deadline?
So the deadline this year is Friday, February 28th at 4:30 p.m. So I urge you, go to our website. You can do an electronic application, a digital application. Our website is www.glcps.org. You can call the school to get a hard copy. You can come by the school to also pick up a hard copy application. We are located in the North End, 101 Nye Street in the North End of New Bedford. We are open usually anywhere from 8 a.m. until approximately 4:30, 5 p.m. So drop on by and, if you have any questions, if you still interested in school and would like to come in and do a tour of the school, we'll certainly entertain that. So everyone's welcome. Just give us a call and come on through.
All right. And when they do enter into the lottery, when will they find out if they were selected?
So this year we are going to have what we call a public, which is a blind lottery, on Thursday, March 6th at 6 p.m. on our campus, 101 Nye Street. So it's basically every child who submits an application. We have a random lottery that will basically select the incoming grades 5 through 10. Once we conduct the lottery the same evening, we will post it on our website. Every student will be assigned a random number. And then we will follow that up with a letter, which will basically explain the enrollment to you.
All right, Adonis, thank you for joining us. And hopefully everybody gets their applications in by the 28th. And again, if you need any more information, you can always reach out to the school, check out their website. All the information is there. Thank you again for joining us this morning.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
And now we can take more of your phone calls at 508-996-0500, as well as your app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And I had mentioned before the discussion with Adonis that one of the things that I wanted to discuss this morning is the news that came out yesterday that the Morna Lounge and Grill, which, as you know, has experienced its share of issues over the last couple of years, including a murder that took place in the Morna Lounge last month, it has now gone up for sale. So there was the incident where someone walked in, opened fire. A 27-year-old New Bedford man was killed. Two other women were injured. And then Police Chief Paul Oliveira exercised his authority based on Massachusetts state law to shut down Morna Lounge because they could not have a licensing board review as they have in the past, like when they had a stabbing inside of Morna Lounge, because they don't have enough people on the licensing board to have a quorum to hold a meeting. The three-person board currently only has one member, as City Council President Shane Burgo explained to us yesterday. They are in the process of trying to approve Richard McHugh, retired firefighter, who they had the appointments and briefings meeting, I believe, last night. So I'm assuming that they forward him through to the full council meeting on Thursday for approval. That will give the city enough, the city licensing board enough members then to have a quorum. They'll have two out of the three members. And then he said that they also just got the nomination of Jimmy D, former Patriots video director. So that will go before the council, I guess, on Thursday to be. Yeah, I saw it on the agenda for Thursday. So that'll be referred to appointments and briefings for their next meeting. And then, you know, that process will continue. So anyway, the bottom line is the chief used his power to shut down the Morna Lounge, and now it is up for sale for $1.2 million. And the sale listing talks about, you know, it comes with a coveted liquor license, but I don't know if that's going to be transferable if right now they are closed down. And I'm going to try to find out some more details on this, but, you know, does the, because basically what happens is the licensing board would review it and they would pull the license, the liquor license. And I don't know if they could also pull like the common Vic license and the things that allow them to just be open as a restaurant. Because I did think that shutting down the business was an extreme measure when you could say, well, you're allowed to stay open as a restaurant, but at 8 p.m. we want you closed. No more nightlife. But they didn't do that. They just went with a full shutdown. And so what is the status of that license? Is that a suspended license based on the exercising of the chief's authority? So I guess those questions will be answered soon enough, but bottom line is the brothers that opened up Morning Lounge in 2021 are now putting it up for sale, $1.2 million. And it's not just that bar and grill either. It's the building that it's housed in, which also has three storefronts that are already rented out to long-term renters. But would new owners make a difference? And what will the city require any new ownership to do for safety precautions? Because this isn't as much as people want to blame the business, I think it's more a result of the location of the business, the proximity it has to some of this gang activity. As we know that many of these incidences of violence have been. And you can say, well, they could have done more to curb it, but we also haven't heard the whole story about what they have tried to do to curb it. So I think the business has been maligned. I think they probably do have some culpability in what's gone on. But who is going to come in then and be able to run something that would be different? 508-996-0500. You can send in your thoughts on app chat on the WBSM app as well. But I just don't know that whatever opens there, you know, a different type of restaurant. If you're going to open a restaurant that's going to be, you know, we close down at 9 p.m., I think you'd be just fine. But the problem is, you know, people want a place to go out at night and be able to listen to music and dance and have some drinks. There are other spots like that in that area of the Ave. Maybe you don't need that to be what moves into Morning Lounge. Maybe a restaurant could go in there that just closes down 8 to 9 p.m., 10 p.m., whatever time it might be. But I don't know that it's going to get reopened anytime soon in its current form. So I guess a sale is probably the best course of action. But if you don't feel like they had any culpability, if you feel like they're a victim of circumstance here, then you've got to feel bad for two brothers that had to give up on their dream because of the element in the neighborhood that ruined it for them. Let me take a break here. When we come back, we can get your thoughts on that or whatever else is on your mind. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Candles down the drain.
Now, in the old days when we heard a song on the radio, it wasn't like we could just open up our phones and Google the lyrics to see if we were right about what we thought they were. Instead, we just sang what we thought we heard and then found out later that we were wrong. Man, nobody was more wrong about lyrics sometimes than me, but I was pretty confident for a long time that the opening lines of that song, Molly, 16 Candles by Sponge, which is, you know, a reference to Molly Ringwald, I thought I see you naked in the bath, cigarette stains on your ass. And I was like, why would she have cigarette stains on her ass? Like, was somebody putting out cigarettes on her ass? Like, and, you know, it made sense because you're seeing her naked in the bath that you would see something you wouldn't normally see. But no, it's cigarette stains on your hands, which makes a lot more sense when you think about it. But the way he sings it, you know, you can see why I was a little bit confused. But we used to have a calendar at my house every year called There's a Bathroom on the Right. It was a calendar of all the misheard song lyrics. It was actually based on a book by the same title. But all the misheard song lyrics of what people thought were the lyrics of a song, like Our Lips Are Sealed by the Go-Go's. Some people would think that was Arliss the Seal. We'll get into that someday. Someday we'll talk about some misheard song lyrics, and we can do a whole 3-hour show on that. But right now it's time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt, who I never misunderstand anything that he says.
Elon Musk leads nearly $1 billion in education cuts. Illinois' former governor gets a pardon. And Valentine's Day shopping expectations.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The Education Department's Institute of Education Sciences is facing nearly $900 million in cuts. Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency deemed much of the institute's work unnecessary, leading to the termination of numerous contracts. Advocates argue the cuts will hinder efforts to improve student outcomes, especially for low-income students and students of color. The cuts come as Musk's team's access to Education Department systems is challenged in court. The White House blocked an Associated Press reporter from an Oval Office event on Tuesday after demanding the news agency change its terminology for the Gulf of Mexico, which President Trump has ordered renamed the Gulf of America. The AP refused, calling the move a violation of press freedom. Executive Editor Julie Pace said barring a reporter over independent journalism is unacceptable and a threat to the First Amendment. The Trump administration has not commented, but this comes days after it removed several news outlets from Pentagon office space. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is directing the military to put a pause on the recruitment of new transgender people. Lisa Taylor with more.
Hegseth is also ordering a suspension of planned procedures for current service members with gender dysphoria. It comes along with President Trump's executive order that essentially bans trans military service. Hegseth wrote in a memorandum for senior Pentagon leadership, "Efforts to split our troops along the lines of identity weaken our force and make us vulnerable." I'm Lisa Taylor.
Collapsed landing gear is the apparent cause of a deadly plane crash near Phoenix involving a jet owned by Motley Crue lead singer Vince Neil. One person was killed in the Monday afternoon crash at Scottsdale Airport, with the fire department spokesman saying three people were taken to hospitals, two with life-threatening injuries. TMZ reports Neil was not on the plane, but his girlfriend was and suffered broken ribs. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is praising President Trump after receiving a full pardon. Speaking outside his home, Blagojevich expressed his gratitude to the president.
After 2,896 days in prison, nearly 8 years, President Trump pulled me out of there, and now he did this. And all I can tell you is that President Trump is a man who, when he sees things that are wrong, he rights them.
The former Democratic governor declined to comment on rumors that he's being considered to become ambassador to Serbia. He also didn't discuss whether he might run for office again. Lyft appears to be joining the robo-taxi game. The rideshare service announced that it's looking to launch an autonomous vehicle fleet sometime next year. Technology used by Intel-backed Mobileye will power the cars, and Dallas will be the first market to feature them. And Valentine's Day is almost here. Falls on a Friday this year. Tammy Trujillo with the details.
Those who partake in the day mainly shop for their significant others and family, but Americans will also be treating friends, pets, and colleagues. A survey by the National Retail Federation found that 32% of U.S. shoppers are buying something for their friends. This Valentine's Day, Americans are expected to spend over $27 billion, equaling an average of $188 per person. That's an increase of more than $1 billion from last year, according to the Trade Association. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics take on the San Antonio Spurs in Boston at TD Garden tonight at 7.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
We're looking at a mostly cloudy day with snow developing overnight, a high of 35 degrees. On Thursday, we wake up to an icy mix and rain in the morning, turning windy in the afternoon, a high of 40. On Friday, bright and breezy, a high of 32, taking us into the weekend. Saturday, looking mostly cloudy, and so far Sunday, looking pretty rainy. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM. Get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Your ghost, lonely and dreaming of the West Coast. I don't want to be your downtown. I don't want to be your stupid game with my big black boots and an old suitcase. I do believe I'll find myself a new.
Pretty good today, right? Being out on the beach in Santa Monica as opposed to being here in the cold. But you know, if you want to warm up today, well, what better way to do it than by getting yourself a great lunch value at Brack's Grill and Tap. You can get their $12.99 value menu at lunch Monday through Friday. You can grab a half pizza and salad combo, the Saucy Bird chicken sandwich, or their pasta of the day. Plus, they have Brack's famous brisket chili, their Portuguese kale soup, classic clam chowder, all those will warm you up, and so much more. Also, don't forget, too, that on Mondays and Thursdays, from 4 p.m. to close, you can get App Mania at Brack's Grill and Tap, $8.88 per item. And we're talking things like their thick crust pizza, the boom boom shrimp, Southwest quesadilla, the bruschetta crostini, fried pickles, Asian pulled pork tacos, boneless tenders, and queso and chips. Dine-in only, of course. But $8.88 for App Mania, Mondays and Thursdays from 4 to close. And I got to tell you, I love the boneless tenders at Brack's because, I mean, listen, bone-in are good, but boneless is the way to go. You get so much more chicken, right? And for $8.88, you can't go wrong. So check out App Mania. Check out the value lunch menu. Check out everything they have at Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton and online at BracksGrillAndTap.com. And, of course, they also have the new Brack's Tavern in Middleborough as well. So 508-996-0500, that is our number here if you want to call in and chime in on some of the things we've been talking about. I was talking previously about the Morna Lounge in New Bedford, now on the market. As you know, it's been suffering some incidences of violence, especially this past year or so, actually really the past half year or so, because in July, there was a shooting there outside the bar. Then in August, someone was killed behind the bar. And then we had in January, someone killed inside the bar. So the police chief stepped in and shut the place down. And now it is on the market for $1.2 million. So it's not just the restaurant and, you know, the bar and the lounge there. The restaurant and the lounge. It's also the entire building, which includes three other storefront tenants. But still, that's going to be on the market now. So we'll see what happens with that going forward. Also, we have the story. You heard Phil mention it in the news at the top of the hour. And he'll talk about it again, I'm sure, at 9 a.m. But if you go to WBSM.com, you can see the story of the man who exposed himself in the play area of McDonald's. Now, obviously, this is a person who's dealing with issues. We had previously reported back in September that he was seen driving a stolen skid steer by Westport police, and he had admitted to stealing some other items and selling them for scrap. And now he exposed himself in a McDonald's play area in Fall River and then dropped a quantity of pills as well. So hopefully he gets the help that he needs, but also he's going to have to pay the price because you can't go around, as one person said in the chat, showing off your McNuggets in the play area of a McDonald's. But we've got that story at WBSM.com and on the app. We also have the story of the person who is the manager of the Somerset Dollar Tree who has been accused of stealing from that store. That this person apparently gained illegal entry into the store and allegedly stole the night deposit. So you can read that story as well, plus a whole bunch more. And you can also see the story and find the links to download the new NB Connected app. As I was saying earlier this morning, if you missed it, the city launched their new app this morning, yesterday, their new NB Connected app, which you can download from your Apple App Store or your Google Play Store. And it ties together all of the things that previous apps had done, like the Passport parking app for the parking meters, the C-Click Fix app for reporting potholes and other things that need DPI attention. Also being able to pay your bills, like your tax bill, if you need to apply for a permit, all of that has now been condensed into one app. Now, this morning I was being pretty critical of that app because as reported by New Bedford Light, it was about $80,000 of ARPA funds that was used to build this app, and it's going to cost about $100,000 a year to run the app and maintain the app. And I'm just looking at it saying, like, you could have had a technology student at the high school build the same thing because it just points to already pre-existing city web pages. It's not an integrated app that, for example, if you go to pay for parking on the NB Connected app, it tries to get you to download the Passport app because the Passport app is what the city uses to process those parking fees. So basically you're paying the app and then the app pays the city. So the city doesn't have to get involved in taking your credit card info and all that stuff. It's all done through this third party app that then just pays the city and takes a cut. So when you go to pay for parking via the NB Connected app, it's going to tell you to download the Passport app to pay for parking. So is that really integrated or is that just linking you to something else? I would think for the money that you're paying, you would have your own system in place. So I believe Mayor Mitchell will be on with Chris later. They'll probably talk more in depth about it, but I don't know. I'm not trying to be critical of it because I think it's great. I think you want to have everything streamlined into one place. And obviously, smartphone apps are the future. For those of you who don't have a smartphone, you can utilize the 311 option on your regular phone. You just dial 311 and you can get into all of these same services by menu option. But I also think that there's an expectation of, you know, for the kind of dollars that's being paid for it, that it's not just going to point you to web pages. Especially when people already complain about the city's website. Now, there's a lot of information on the city website, but it's tough to navigate. And so this app does help you navigate to some of those particular areas. But again, maybe I'm just being overly critical, but I'm not seeing what was paid for. But then again, you know, I don't know all the behind-the-scenes info of how to create an app and all of that. All I know is, years ago, probably 10 years ago now, Matt Costa made a spooky South Coast app for that show that basically did the same thing. It just pointed people to pre-existing website pages and didn't take them very long to make and certainly didn't cost $80,000. But again, as I said earlier, I'm just talking out my app. I don't really know for sure all the ins and outs. I don't know all the behind the scenes stuff. So when Mayor Mitchell comes in, he can give more of an in-depth discussion about that. 508-996-0500. Going to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And, of course, that's the original version of U2's The Sweetest Thing. They later made a longer, a remixed version of it, re-recorded version of it is what I was trying to say, for the Greatest Hits album. But that was the original version during the Joshua Tree sessions, which Bono wrote for his wife, Allie, because he messed up and forgot her birthday while they were recording the Joshua Tree album. So he wrote that song as an apology to her. And then they took all the profits from the single. It was actually the B-side to Where the Streets Have No Name. And they took all the profits and donated it to the Children of Chernobyl Foundation. So it was a way to kind of do some good for his screw-up of forgetting her birthday. And you don't want to have to write a song for your love if you forget Valentine's Day, right? So don't forget. Stop by Potting Bench in Fairhaven, and you won't have to worry about forgetting because Danielle and the team is going to help you come up with a great gift to be able to give, whether it be on Friday, right? Go in there today and order something to be delivered on Friday, or really surprise her and have it delivered on Thursday. That's right. Then you're ahead of the game and you can say, look, not only did I not forget, I wanted you to be the first to get your Valentine's gift, whether it be flowers or a nice floral arrangement, a teddy bear, balloons, whatever it be. They've got it all over there at Potting Bench Florists and Gifts, 2 Sarah's Way in the CVS Plaza in Fairhaven. And check them out online at pottingbenchfloristfairhaven.com. But really, just stop in and talk to Danielle or any member of the team, and they will help you come up with the perfect gift, whether it be for, you know, your significant other or maybe for the kids, right? Maybe you want to give your friends a Galentine's gift, whatever it may be. Check out Potting Bench again. 2 Sarah's Way in the CVS Plaza in Fairhaven, or pottingbenchfloristfairhaven.com. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
How you doing, Tim?
Good. How are you?
All right. So what's this you talking about? WBSM is buying the lounge so you can host spooky lounge nights and cook for us?
We don't have enough parking over there for all the people that would want to come to that.
I know. I'm saying some ideas there.
And I certainly don't have $1.2 million laying around, that's for sure.
No, but how you doing today?
I'm all right. How about yourself?
I got a ruptured eardrum. I woke up with my ear, right ear ruptured. I'm with the doctors right now. Yeah.
Well, blame it on us. When you go to the doctor and they say, what do you think happened? Say, I was listening to Tim on WBSM and I tried to stab my eardrum out.
Oh, no. No, I enjoy your talk.
Okay. I appreciate that.
I enjoy everybody on here. It's part of life. Everybody has opinions and stuff, but I like food. You like food. Everything else is irrelevant.
Absolutely. There you go. Well, I hope they get that fixed up for you.
All right. You have a good day, buddy.
You as well. Let me take my final break of the morning, and then we can finish it off with your calls. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back for an app. I think you got a lot of businesses out there that have apps that don't cost that much. Anyway, you know what else doesn't cost as much as you would think it is? Solar. Going solar, it's an investment that you make that saves you money over time. So don't worry about what the cost is up front. Think about what the savings is going to be over the long haul. And nobody can explain that all to you better than Isaacson Solar, because they're going to sit down with you, they're going to look at everything, and they're going to help you determine if going solar is right for you. They're not interested in just selling you a solar system and then moving on like other companies do. You know, the ones that come and knock on your door, they just want to sell you a system, install it, and then leave. They're going to go to the next town and do the same thing all over again. Isaacson Solar will never knock on your door to try to sell you a solar system. They only come to you if you reach out to them first. And they're not going anywhere. They're here on the South Coast, based in Fall River. They've been here for years. They will be here for years. They are your partner in going solar and saving your family money. So if you want to find out about all of that and how to make it work for you, all you have to do is go to isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. They'll come out, they'll look at your property, they'll tell you where you can put the panels, they'll give you all the best practices, and if you're not a good fit for solar, they'll tell you that too. They're going to be honest, they're going to be simple, they're going to be direct. So don't waste time with people that are just going to tell you what you want to hear to get you to buy the solar panels. Talk to Isaacson Solar and visit them at isaacsonsolar.com. All right, that will do it for me for today. We'll be back tomorrow when we're going to be joined by Colleen Ogilvie. She's the Registrar of Motor Vehicles for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. She's going to be talking with us about the requirements for the Real ID, which you are running out of time to get yourself the Real ID. So she's going to give us all the lowdown on that. And then on Friday, we should be joined by Laura Jaworski of House of Hope to talk about the now open Echo Village in Providence, and also whether or not we think that could translate to New Bedford as well. So it is now open. They're going to move 10 to 15 people in per week over the next couple of weeks, and they'll have that Echo Village operating. And then we can find out if that would be something that would work in New Bedford. So that'll be on Friday.